Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, A Hard Man. Today's message is based on Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. So let us open with prayer. Lord God, we gather in this time and place not because we are deserving of your love and not because we have lived faithfully before your face. We gather here because you have called us. You have loved us before we could love you. You have given your Son for our salvation. For this we join all creation in blessing you, praising you, thanking you. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, you are great and greatly to be praised. As we offer our praise, we long for you to mold us in the image of your Son, whose death and resurrection give us hope. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received the 2 talents gained more also. But he who had received 1 went out, dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. So after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought him 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. His Lord said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We continue today with Jesus telling of several parables, all about the coming day of the Lord, referring to the end times. We have heard these many years, and I hope and that they are wonderful teaching tools, but today we are attempting to see them in the context they were intended. So how should we prepare for that day when Jesus comes to take his people home? Today's parable is the parable of talents, and we should realize by the end of this message what the talent should be for us today. The talent was not a coin, it was a weight. The English use of talent for a natural or supernatural aptitude or special ability derives from this parable. But of course the Greek talento is simply a sum of money. It was generally regarded at that time as equal to 6,000 denarii. If a talent were worth 6,000 denarii, then it would take a day labor 20 years to earn so much if he didn't spend a penny. In the application of this parable, It's appropriate to see these talents as life resources or calls, such as time, money, abilities, and authority. So starting now at verses 14, Jesus describes a master who gives instructions to his servants before departing on a long journey. And the kingdom of heaven is equated to this, traveling to a far journey, and he gives each according to his ability. A man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. This was not a strange idea in the ancient world. This is where servants were often given great responsibility. This was often the safest and smartest thing a man could do with his money. Don't think of this as giving only a small portion as a test, but the master here is entrusting nearly all he has, not for safekeeping, but to prosper what he has. The real point is that this parable takes up the question which that of the bridesmaids leaves unanswered. For what is readiness? And to one he gave five, another two, and another one. The servants were given different amounts of money according to their ability. One servant only received one talent. Yet we should see that this was not an insignificant amount. Some received more, but everyone received something, and everyone received a large amount. The talent which each man suits his own ability best. And it's only pride and insanity which leads him to desire and envy the graces and talents of another. Five talents would be too much for most men. So then going to verse 16, and he who had received a five and traded with him and made another five, and he who had received two more also, and he who had received one dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Each of those who had received talents from their master did with them as they saw fit. Two of them traded with their talents and earned more talents. They multiplied what their master had given them. The point is that the good servants felt the responsibility of their assignment and went to work without delay. We aren't told how they traded with their talents. Perhaps they loaned the money at interest. Perhaps they used the money and bought things and sold them for more money. The point is, they used what they had and gained more by using what was entrusted to them. We can easily see this example physically, but can we understand that this was ultimately about multiplying souls that are saved? We can say many good things about the work of the first two servants. They did their work promptly. They did their work with perseverance. They did their work with success. They were ready to give an account to their master. And being a success in business in your work is not a negative from a moral standpoint. It is what we are supposed to do with whatever bounty God has provided, whether much or little. But we are to do how we are able to enrich God's kingdom. So he had received the one talent, went and dug and hid the money. The third servant did almost nothing with his master's money. He took care that it would not be lost, but he did nothing positive with his master's money. In contrast to the first two servants, he took no risk, as all investment really is. He made little or no effort to do what he should have done. He did what so very many of us are doing. He played it safe. Then continuing to verse 19 through 23, we come to the part that so many in the church today tend to ignore, and that is about reward and punishment. So after a long time, the Lord came and settled the accounts. And he who had received five and brought five other, Lord, you delivered me five, and look, I gained five more. And his Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. He also had that received the two came and said, Lord, you delivered me two, and look, I have gained two more. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice that we are not told how long the delay was. In the time represented, this would have been usually a long journey. But the point of this parable is that the servants did not know when the master would return and had to be ready. With all account ledgers in order, ready for inspection. The master would not have said, I'm back. I will give you until Tuesday to get ready. They had to be ready. Now this long type of delay would have tempted the servants to think they would never get an account for their master. Murder and violence was the norm in those days, yet they certainly would have to. Notice the reward was the same for both servants, even though one was given 5 talents and the other was given 2. Each performed the same according to the resources they had received. In other words, God knows you far better than you think. God will give you no more than you are able to handle. And he answers, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is very often used in funerals as a reassurance for the family. We desire that our loved ones will have received a just reward. But this shows that the master looked for goodness and faithfulness in his servants. Whatever financial successes those servants enjoyed came because they were good and faithful. The master looked first for these character qualities, not for a specific amount of money. Now Spurgeon has a lot to say of this. "It is not well done, thou good and brilliant servant, for perhaps the man never shone at all in the eyes of those who appreciate glare and glitter. It is not well done, thou great and distinguished servant, for it is possible that he was never known beyond his native village. It is better to be faithful in the infant school than to be unfaithful in the noble class of young men. Better to be faithful in a hamlet over 2 or 3 score than to be unfaithful in a great city parish with thousands perishing in consequence of your evil. Better to be faithful in a cottage meeting, speaking of Christ crucified to a half dozen villagers, than to be unfaithful in a great building where there are thousands." To me, this is a very timely message for today's world, where we try to put human measurement and standards on how God views us. Then it says, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." This has the echo of heaven in it. The idea is that there is a place of joy belonging to the master of these servants. They are invited to join the master in that place. There is a sense of heaven about this destiny for the 2 faithful servants. And again from Spurgeon, "This is not the servant's portion, but the master's portion shared with his servants. Not so much that we shall have joy of our own, that we should enter into the joy of our Lord." Remember, heaven is not going to be about you, but about the master. We now get the verdict of the 3rd servant. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, I know you to be a hard man, and I am afraid. So I hid your money in the ground, and look, you have what is yours." The master judged each of the servants individually. If they were taken as a group, they did very well. 8 talents given and 15 returned. Yet each one was judged on their individual faithfulness and effort. And again from Spurgeon, "Remember, my hearer, in that day of judgment, thy account must be personal. God will not ask you what your church did. He will ask you what you did yourself." I can think of no better way to say how this parable relates to each of us. Now the servant who merely buried his talent and tried to excuse himself because of the master's great power, and he calls his master a hard man, grasping, ungenerous, taking all to himself, offering no inducements to his servants. F.B. Meyer, who lived and taught in the second half of the 1800s, expressed the thinking of this servant. "I can do very little. It will not make much difference if I do nothing. I shall not be missed. My tiny push is not needed to turn the scale." Does that sound like anyone you know? Never limit the abilities God has entrusted to you, but always seek to do even more than you believe you are able. Matthew Poole from the late 1600s said of this world, "It is the genius of the wicked men to lay the blame of their miscarriages upon others, oftentimes God himself." Has life changed so much since then? This is still how our world operates and should never, ever be used to excuse poor behavior on self. Now the 3rd servant seems almost proud of himself because the master was so powerful and in the mind of the servant didn't need his help. The 3rd servant thought that the master would be pleased that he did nothing and could say, "Look, there you have what is yours." He seems to have no idea how much he had displeased his master. And we can say in the third servant's favor that at least he still understood that what he had been given belonged to his master. He said, "You have what is yours." Many modern servants of God think that when God gives them something, it is no longer belongs to God. It belongs to them. They can do with it as they please. We can say of the work of the third servant, he didn't think. He didn't work. He didn't even try. He made excuses. This sounds like so much of our world, and even what we are today teaching our children. This should never be the life of a Christian, and such a person will never see the glories of God. And then we complete this passage with verses 26 through 30. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather what I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own plus interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The condemnation of this third servant, here called wicked and lazy, was strong. The sovereignty of the master never excused the laziness of the servants. It condemned that laziness all the more. Those who don't work for the Lord or pray or don't evangelize because God is sovereign condemn themselves by their laziness, by their actions or lack of action. They show they are like the wicked servant in the parable. They do not know their master's heart at all. The Lord of the unprofitable servant tells him that the fault lay in his own sloth and wickedness, not his dread of his Lord's security, but a mere frivolous pretense and unreasonable excuse. The charge against this servant, who merely buried his talent, was that he was wicked and lazy. We rarely see laziness as a real sin, something that must be repented of before the Lord. If laziness were a calling or spiritual gift, this man would have been excellent. Not dishonest. The master had not misjudged as to that. But indolent, unenterprising, timid, slothful, a poor creature altogether, suspicious, timid, heartless, spiritless, and bone idle. We must say that this servant did not have a proper fear of his master, but an unfitting fear of risk and failure, a desire for self-comfort. Then he says, "For everyone who has, more will be given, but for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." There are those who have things, like the servant with the one talent, but hold them in such a way that as if they had nothing. These ones will find what they had taken away. Those who hold what they have received as faithful men and women, to them more will be given. And then they cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness because he was wicked and lazy. The third servant demonstrated that he was not a true servant of his master at all. It's fitting that he and those who show the same heart were cast forever out of the master's presence. Just as there was a sense of heaven in the destiny of the two faithful servants, there is a strong sense of hell in the destiny for the wicked and lazy servant. In the larger context of Matthew 25, the main point of this parable is clear. Our readiness for Jesus' return is determined by our stewardship of the resources that he has given to us. Some think that readiness for Jesus' return is a very spiritual and abstract thing. It really isn't. It's a matter of being about our business for the Lord. In light of this parable, we must ask ourselves, what have we done with our knowledge, our time, our money, our abilities? The sins of omission, what we don't do, may ultimately be more dangerous than the sins of commission, what we actually do. Many will see God in all this selection as a hard man, just as the wicked servant called him. I must ask why. Did not the master in this parable mete out justice to those who both served him rightly and those who neglected God's will? For God is certainly the master in this parable, and we are the servants. This parable is very fitting as it promises heaven as a just reward for those who are faithful and hell for those who do not live in truth and faith. Both heaven and hell are reality. The choice is yours as to where you will end up for eternity. That day is coming, but we are not to know exactly. But we all not should must be in preparedness for that day as we are today. Are you ready? Will you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or "Cast the unprofitable servant in outer darkness"? You will be judged. We are just not certain when. The choice is yours. Do not be lazy, but work now to prepare for that dreadful day of the Lord when you will stand before God. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us claim the freedom Christ gives us by his self-giving on the cross. May he enable us to serve together in faith, hope, and love. Go now in peace and serve the Lord. May the God of love who shared his love strengthen us in our love for others. May the Son who shared his life grant us grace that we might share our life. And may the Holy Spirit dwelling in us empower us willingly to seek his desire for each of us as we prepare for his coming again. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Range. You can also find videos of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
And I'm